Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with a second attempt to do the live with Neil Pasco, aka Nate Max. We had the live going, but for some reason Nate dropped out, couldn't get him back. So I'm going to attempt to get Nate back on again. I've just spoken to Nate, he's all good. So as soon as he's here, which won't be...
These lives, man, I swear, I don't know why, mate, but they're just so difficult to get going sometimes. I don't know whether it's just the meta-verified thing or whatever else, but we've gotten Neil on a lot quicker this time. Nate, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah.
Hey, yes, we have made the connection. What's going on, dude? What's news?
Far out. It's been a while. Well, I'm not used to people actually looking at my posts and commenting on my posts. That's kind of a new experience for me. I haven't had that for 5 years.
Yeah, the shadow ban. The shadow ban has diminished a little bit, eh?
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I've got a de-Googled phone now too. I'm not sure if that helps, but I mean, I've pretty much been shadow banned for about, I guess, 4 and a bit years because I was blocked and deleted and banned about 2 years before COVID.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of weird. People comment, message like, "Where you been, Nate?" I'm like, I've always been here.
Maybe the whole fact-checking thing was because of you pre-COVID. Okay, this guy's getting out of our hand. We're going to have to do something about this bloke. And you just made life hard for the rest of us.
Totally. Yeah, well, someone had to do it, right? Someone's got to be the first person across the line.
Mate, someone has to be the villain, right?
That's right. Right, exactly. I mean, it's a real thing. People don't realise that. I mean, I tried to get on a live with Jason Christoph on Facebook, on Instagram, at least 10 times, and it just would not do it. It would not go no matter what we did, no matter what we tried. We were not allowed to do lives together.
Yeah.
And there's probably 5 or 6 other people who it was like, you two people cannot do a live because it's going to be too disruptive, you know? So, but anyway, it's nice to be able to be back home and have a bit of a chat again. How have you been?
I've been fantastic, man. To be honest, I haven't really done very many posts on social media. That's probably why I'm not heavily shadow banned either. I've just been really looking after my health more than anything, man. And by looking after my health, meaning, you know, giving Thanos the love he deserved when it comes to, you know, looking after yourself physically, mentally and all that type of stuff. And, yeah, working to put back the pieces of my life after, you know, they basically took my career and destroyed it. You know, a 9.5-year career just went down the drain. So I basically had to build myself up from scratch. And there's been a lot of a lot of faith involved where everything had to be just, you know, just believing that I'm going to be okay and just not being able to see what's coming and still, you know, getting to the next step. So, but man, I'm still very, very happy, like at the place I am at the moment. I'm in a good place. What about you? What's new with you?
Nice to hear, dude. I'm glad you're alive and kicking. It's funny, there's so many people out there who would, you know, like when you came in during the experience, like you kept it alive for so many people. And sometimes you forget how much of an impact you do make with people out there, because a lot of people are watching and you're saying all the things I want to say, but they're too scared to say it or whatever. Or they're in a town full of muggles and they've got no one to relate to. And then you got this person on the internet where it's like, fuck, Thanos, you know? Yeah. So, you deserve a break. This is the calm before the storm, unfortunately. There's a lot coming down the pipeline. There's a lot of good things happening too. There's always a double-edged sword at the moment. People need to always kind of realize that there's always a double-edged sword. That's the whole point of consciousness. There's this side and there's that side, and it's always doing 100%. This. The only thing that happens a lot is that we get attached to the way the reality is and we don't want it to change. But the only thing that we're guaranteed in life is change, taxes at the moment, and death, you know, so... This is a massive transition in many ways. There's a transition of wealth going on. There's a transition 100%. Of power. There's a huge awakening behind the scenes. We're heading into now a spiritual journey, very obviously a spiritual journey. People are realizing that there's a lot going on in the non-physical realms, which is dictating what we're doing down here. So we're getting kind of pretty super woo at the moment. Things are getting, you know, a little bit conversation and some. Someone came in and said, 23, this, we would be like, fuck off, bullshit, I don't believe you. So We are here.
It's true. But you know what's interesting about this whole situation? I think part of the reason that they've become so hell-bent about controlling what gets said on social media and the misinformation and this and all that is because these bastards are absolutely terrified that they made such a move that even the most conservative folk that had an inkling something was going on in this world are now fully aware and are looking right at these bastards. And you can honestly see, and the conversation now, if you had the same conversation now that you're having 10 years ago, 1 in 10 in the room would agree with you. Now it's one, now it's like 5 or 6 in 10 in the room would agree with you that something's going on. And that's dangerous towards a collective of people that don't have the humanity's best interest at heart. And all they're looking at doing is lining their pockets and enslaving humanity. Do you know what I mean? And when you're 100% on the cusp of achieving your lifetime goal, as in you've been formulating this plan over 300 years, and now you're at the point that you have the technology and everything to fully do what you need to do, at the same time, you're also created an environment where information can be disseminated through people within milliseconds, and anyone could become a broadcaster these days without having millions of dollars at their disposal. So it's a very, very dangerous time for these people. And I think they're absolutely petrified, to be honest, because we outnumber them probably 1 million to 1.
Exactly. It doesn't seem to be going that well. You know, that's why they keep dialing things back and changing, because ultimately you've got to remember these beings that we're, I guess, up against, if you want to call it that way, if you want to be in the duality kind of mindset, they can't create anything new, like absolutely nothing. That's why there's Hollywood. The human beings, us, the people that are here, not the NPCs and the furniture walking around, they're the only ones that are actually creating the reality. Now, a lot of people here are walking around blind because they forgot why we're here and what we're doing. You know, you've kind of come down for, I guess, a mission. And we come with amnesia, then we have 20 years of whatever we're doing to try and awaken, then to get back on track and to do things. So it's this crazy process we go through. But ultimately, human beings are being used to create their reality through our attention and our focus. This whole social media, or as I like to call it, unsocial media, that's what it is. It's literally unsocial media. Yeah. I'm actually repelled by social media and people who are on it and wanting to grow a following and grow an audience and be influencers. Like, it's actually, to me, I hate it, and I have been talking quite a lot in the last 6 months about deleting every single thing I've ever done off the internet for good, and I've already bought the Nokias to do it, to go back to a Nokia. But I thought I'll give it a little bit of a nudge. I'll jump on, have a chat, see how receptive people are.
Yeah.
And I've been pissing a lot of people off in the last few weeks because a lot of people obviously haven't seen my content for a long time. I've just popped up, and all these people are messaging me all this shit. So I've been blasting my feed full of stuff to see what happens if I get shadow banned, you know. And so far, it just seems to be normal. So everyone needs to realize, ultimately, the end goal is to take your attention. Where is your attention? It can't be solely focused on exposing what's going on, because we are giving that energy. And the truth movement, in many aspects, I'll say 85% or more of it, has been hijacked. Not as in physically hijacked, like people coming in and taking control of it, like WikiLeaks and things like that, which is. But people are hijacked by themselves, by their beliefs, by them not doing the detoxification, the health, the inner work, all these things. You have a lot of people who are, say, very, very good at putting the piece of the puzzle together with their mind, but they're unhealthy. They've got a gut full of parasites. They haven't done any sort of detoxification. They're not getting out into nature. They haven't got an open heart. They're not in love. They're not expressing themselves. They're not singing, dancing, playing, and enjoying every moment of the day. It's literally just they're on the computer learning everything, and that doesn't get you very far. Great. If you know all the information, but all you're doing is spewing it on the internet, the internet is a closed circuit loop. This is the internet, and everything inside the internet is in there. It's in the middle. I'll do the Illuminati symbol so people start a crack, all right? So it's in the middle there. But when you put the laptop down, you turn your phone off, you go outside the internet, and you're in the fucking real world. If you're not doing stuff in the actual real world, you might as well stop researching for a while and start doing simple little things every day that are going to actually make change. And that can be as simple as you have a mobile phone, you have hundreds of people in your contact list. You can literally send people a message right now, a really nice, heartfelt, beautiful message, and just say, hey, I just want to say thank you for showing up in my life and for what you do in the world, or whatever it is, you know, or just check in with people. There's things that we can do which are free all the time that people aren't doing that can make a massive change and ripple effect in people's lives. As simple as you could just get your printer, print out 500 pieces of paper, cut them up with a pair of scissors with some information on it, and when you walk your dog, chuck some things in people's letterboxes. That's actual real world change, and you're interfering and interfacing in the real world as opposed to the internet, which is saturated with bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 100%. 100% I agree with you. And, you know, I think that one of the things that COVID did is it created us to be very, very conditioned to be looking at our phones because we were locked inside. We weren't allowed to go anywhere. The world was upside down and everyone was just glued to these things. I reckon social media use would have gone up maybe 200 to 300%. That's my belief during that time when we were going through that time. I reckon people's social media use would have gone through the roof. And you know, as good as it is to be able to get information from social media or whatever else, it's also important to implement things that you've learned within your life and actually take action within yourself. And mate, to be honest, man, if I didn't have half these things I was doing on social media, I would have smashed my phone in a million pieces a while ago. Do you know what I mean? And gone back to Thanos of old, where I'd leave the house and the only way you'd know I was gone is if you called the house phone and someone would either answer or there's an answering machine. Do you know, we'd go out just with a set of keys. No phone, no nothing, and we get on our bikes and we just ride. And it wasn't like if your parents can't call you in 10 minutes, they panic. It's like, mate, he's out there. And or, you know, someone would try and get onto you on the phone. There was no phone call, mate. You know, you weren't getting through on it. You had to wait till you got home and such called. You're going to call them back. And that was it. And no one died. Do you know what I mean? The world didn't fall apart because you couldn't answer your phone in 5 minutes. You know? So I think people have lost themselves a bit when it comes to social media and stuff like that. But I think it's also conditioned. And what I mean by that is if you watch a lot of the new movies on Netflix and whatever else, you notice that there's a massive push within those movies for communication via social media. You see like text messages going on the screen, likes and stuff from Instagram, you know, lives and stuff like that. And they it's like they put it in all these movies to just push that, you know, that type of culture onto you. And I almost call it mind culture, because that's almost how they want your mind to be able to interact within this new world. They want you being, you know, connected to technology as much as possible.
Yeah, well, the technology is the glue that keeps everything together. Like, if everyone tomorrow just stopped using smartphones, the whole entire system would fall apart. 5G and all this stuff would be completely irrelevant. They wouldn't be able to track, trace, scan, take all your data, do all these things. Basically, it would fall apart. But the advent of Facebook and the smartphone is kind of the smartest, sneakiest plan that's ever been played on humanity, because it's always around convenience. You know what I mean? It's a convenience kind of thing that gets people. They're like, yeah, you know, but it's got my GPS on it and things like that. So really, like, when the pressure, you know, ramps up a bit, people are going to start ditching their phones. There's definitely a undercurrent right now of people just going, I'm sick of it, I'm sick of social media, I'm sick of the demands, and also the expectations and all the fake lives that are out there, and all these people showing these really amazing lives. And then when you know the people behind the scenes, they're fucking broken. Their lives aren't that good, and they're you know, not very happy. So it's a false sense of security, and it makes people feel less than, because it's like, well, why the fuck isn't my life good when all these people have got great lives? But really, what they're doing is stealing your attention. And if they're stealing your attention, they're stealing your time and your energy, because this is actually an energy game. This is all esoteric energy vampirism. You know, everyone's using someone for something. There's not many people out there who are honestly on their own journey, and they're not parasiting. You know, we're getting likes, we're getting dopamine here. The smartphone experience is an exchange. It's an exchange for likes and dopamine for your time and energy. That's how it works. And your energy and your time are two things you never get back unless you start cultivating it. So it's a really, really sticky, slippery slope. And a lot of these people with big followings didn't want to give up their followings during COVID and stuff, so they backed down on what they posted.
Yeah.
They went on mainstream because they make so much money on it. That's a full sellout, in my opinion. Yeah, it is 100%. Kind of a full sellout. It's like, I'm making a lot of money, but so I don't really want to do that, but I want to keep making my money, so I'm just going to do – it's a sellout, you know. There's many, many levels of sellout that we saw in the last 2 years, and I just hope for all the people out there, vaxxed and non-vaxxed and all the rest of it, that you learned something through the next 2 years. You know, something really, really big has gone down. And sometimes you feel it in the world. It feels like that period between Christmas and New Year's, yeah, where people aren't at work. They don't really know what the fuck they're doing. They just kind of walk around and they're like, I'm not at work, but I don't really know how to relax. I'm out of the prison for a while. And they go to the mall and they stand there and look at something for a bit. They go eat some food and stand over here. It's that fucking weird energy where people actually are happy at being slaves back at work, right?
Yeah.
That energy is kind of going on all the time now because we're going through these highs and lows. It was the COVID push.
Yeah.
Now we're going down to the reward phase where everything's back to normal. Everyone's being nice. All the politicians, yeah, are going, oh, we didn't fall through to fucking do anything. You know, like the gaslighting is happening. And even, yeah, my own mental construct, the way I am, there's so much gaslighting going on that I'm almost becoming used to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like that's just what happens, as opposed to like, what the fuck? These motherfuckers did this. Now they're saying that. It's kind of like there's so much gaslighting, yeah, that the confusion is actually creating a cloud of uncertainty or something. It's a really weird time to be alive, and it's a really important time for people to be working out what the fuck their purpose is, okay?
Yeah.
Remembering the things they used to do before this shit happened and doing all the things that made them happy, and a lot of things aren't going to make you happy anymore because, unfortunately, when you understand what's going on, you can become a little bit bitter, you can become a bit angry, you can become a bit anxious, and that is the worst thing. You want to be fucking, yeah, thriving, you want to be committing to things, you want to be chasing your goals, chasing your dreams, doing all this shit. Doesn't matter what direction the world's heading in, right? It's going to be changing. That's for sure, right? But nothing's like, it's all bubbling in the background, but right now everyone has the potential to do whatever they want at this moment in time. But a lot of people are fixated on what's coming as opposed to like, well, what can I do now to get, yeah, ready? What can I do financially, spiritually, physically, mentally, detoxification?
Yes.
I always talk about heavy metals because the heavy metals is the connection between the 5G, the vaccines, the shedding, fucking all this shit, right? It's all connected to heavy metals. So,
yes,
what's the solution? Is it constantly look at the sky and talk about geoengineering, or is it just tell your friends and family, let's do a fucking metal detox together to get the metals,
yeah,
out? Because ultimately, they can spray as much metal on you as they want. If you're detoxing it faster than it goes in, it's like, well, that's fucking annoying. I get it, but at least I'm not going to be get fucked up. I'm not,
yes,
going to have Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia. I'm not going to be connected to the smart grid. I'm not going to have weird thoughts in my head which aren't mine from this stuff. So it's a solution-based reality we're heading into now. And if we don't adopt it and start moving forward, we are going to get, yeah, caught in this gulag which is going on of this lower consciousness of people who fucking took the thing and they're on that trajectory now.
Yeah, so the solution-based thing that you were talking about, that's really interesting in terms of, like, I think people really need to change their perspective in terms of how they look at the world now. And that's what I was trying to say. So a lot of people see what's going on in the world and they think that, you know, you need to change this, or we really need to do something about this, or we really need to do something about that. Or, you know, the World Economic Forum's taken over and they're going to influence all of the leaders of the world. This is so big, what's happening in the world. You need to imagine that you are one human being and there is a 30-meter tsunami heading towards you. In terms of perspective of what you can do as a single human being, you really can't do much. But what you can do is prepare, because that tsunami is not coming for 3 years. So you can leave. You can go to higher ground.
Yeah.
You can warn people, right? You can educate yourself. You can figure out the best way. And I'm using the tsunami as an analogy because people get so caught up in the shitstorm of things that are coming to this world. Like, look at what they're doing to the kids, mate. They're coming after the kids, and they're not even hiding it with the sexualization. They've got a book for 8-year-old kids teaching them how to have sex, for God's sake, in Big W. This is to what level of perversion this world's heading to. And if you think you're going to stop these things, you're not. You have to think that you are one individual standing on the beach, and there is a tsunami of shit fuckery heading your way, and all you can do is prepare yourself mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally. You need to fucking prepare yourself. Excuse my language, but you need to prepare yourself. That means look after your health. Look after your mental health. Understand different ways to make money, not just look at money as a linear thing where you work 9 to 5 and you work 40 hours a week and that's how much money you earn, and you're basically so vulnerable at that point that all they need to do is say, take the job, and you're screwed because you can't feed your family. You need to look at money in a different way, in terms of it's not such a linear thing. You need to look at your life in such a different way that you learn to focus yourself on different things, and you learn to be powerful in certain ways. And if you weren't powerful before, become friggin' powerful by working on yourself as much as humanly possible. Because what's coming to this world, the tsunami of shit fuckery that I call it, that is coming to this world, you're not going to stop it, but you can prepare for it.
That's right. So what you're saying is exactly correct. And I'll take it one step further. You can get prepared. You can do all these things. You can run to high ground. Or you can get a fucking surfboard and you can ride that tsunami and use that to create more wealth than you've ever created in your entire life, more change, more friends, more community. Because everyone right now is like, shit's going down. What do we do? Like, for example, I've just got a signal group that I've been slowly growing over the last year. When I started a year ago, I said, guys, this is for when shit gets wild later on. And people were like, okay, we don't really need it now. And now more people are coming into it. I'm adding, and like, we're realizing how important community is. And a common theme that I'm seeing at the moment is a lot of people have lost their happiness. You know, they're not just going out and enjoying and doing things anymore. And a bunch of close mates and friends and family and people I've been chatting to, it's like, Nate, I feel like I'm just not doing fun shit anymore. And a few weeks back, I've been saying to people, let's just get out and organize stuff. Let's get to the beach, let's get to a dinner, let's go out and do things, let's connect, because people were disconnected before the two-year experience. Like when I go back to the city, so I've been living in the forest by myself now for the last 3 years, and I was traveling around Australia in a motorhome for 10 years. So I have been disconnected from city life and things for quite some time, and my fucking mind gets blown away when I go into the cities. Our head office is in Sydney, and I go back sometimes and do some work there, and basically the last time I was in Sydney, I actually felt really sad, to be honest. Because I'm a very kind of sensitive person, even though you probably wouldn't think so. I'm actually quite energetically sensitive. And I was just feeling into all the people out in the city, and there was Vivid going on, there was a light festival and all this stuff, and people were just walking around like zombies. You know, I'll talk to people and I'd be like, it was almost like I was breaking them out of their slumber. Yeah. And that's the first time I've really been there and felt like off. I'm not saying it was a city. It could be stuff I'm going through too, but there does feel like there's an energetic downfall happening at the moment. And that's what I've realized, is that the people aren't connecting anymore. So before this happened, I'll be at my mum's house, whatever. I'll be walking my dog. And like, having my dog's always been like an icebreaker. People are just naturally more inclined to come talk to you when you have an animal. Human beings are at the point where if you have an animal and they have an animal, you can talk together and it's not weird. Like, there can be a beautiful girl there and you can be the same age, same thing. And if you have a dog, it's like, hey, we've got animals, we can talk. But if a girl's walking down the street and you're walking down the street and you're the same age and you're both obviously probably single, you both want to be married or whatever it is, that's fucking awkward in today's world. But it shouldn't be. You know, the disconnect is so big that it's actually weird for people connecting in the real world. It's like, go find them on Tinder or some app, whatever these apps people use. So that was going on well before the experience. And now since the experience, it's gone back another 3 notches. It's actually come back 3 more notches where people are even more insular. They're less trusting. They're less going out. Everything's gone online. People are working at home. So what we need to do as a fucking society is we need to start organizing things. And if you're a leader, or not even a leader, if you're someone who just brings people together, that's your gift. Message people. People, ring them, organize some shit, a dinner, sit around the fire, go to the fucking beach, hire a boat in the river, like organize a camping trip, whatever it is. Trust me, it's really important that we start bringing back that community. Otherwise, we're going to end up with 500 friends on Facebook and Instagram and no real friends.
Do you know what, though? It's interesting you say that, because if you look at half these people that probably have 30,000 followers on Instagram that might not even have three friends, actual real friends. Do you know what I mean? People they can confide in, people like they might have acquaintances, but they don't have true friendship. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's interesting that you say that in terms of you know, the whole social media thing. I think that it really, people thought it was going to connect the world. I think it's disconnected the world. In terms of disconnected people from connected, being connected to other people, as in human beings, as in that type of connection. And now everyone's connected through this, what would you call it, metaverse or whatever else you want to call it. But it's not real connection, is it? There's a substrate between you and the other individual, the other party. So there's no real human connection. You could talk to someone every night over the phone, and there's no real human connection happening unless you're face-to-face with that person. Do you know what I mean? It's a very, very different interaction in terms of energetically. It's a very, very different interaction.
Yeah, especially with relationships now too. You know, obviously the dating pool's gotten about fucking 100 times smaller. So many people got it. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be with someone who did or not. I'm just saying that that's a prerequisite for a lot of people, especially on your chat. And it's also made people very... very concerned. There's a real weird concern going on and a real disconnect in the way people do connect now. You know, there's a lot of what's it called when it's like catfishing but the other way. It's like a catfish but saying to someone that I'm not that, and then later on it's like, oh, actually I did get it, I got two of them. That's been going on. So there's a lot of weird stuff. So ultimately, in the end, what people don't realize is that you've only ever really had a bunch of friends. And you've been operating in this world with people everywhere, and you think they're all the fucking same. This is the trick behind it. We've been delusionally thinking that we're living with people that like us, but these people you see at the coffee shop, and you say hi, your neighbor, and you say hi, and you have this surface-level relationship, but you don't really know what they're actually like until you have pressure. Pressure is what turns the coal into the diamond, and that's when you start to really see the true colors of people. So nothing's really changed, except we know that there's fucking 95% of people who have no fucking balls on this planet, that the people who said that they were our friends weren't really our friends. There's other people who are family who threw us under the bus in 5 seconds. So all that's happened now is that the veil has lifted. Same with what's going on in the world. People are like, mate, the world's so fucked right now. I'm like, well, actually, this shit's been going on forever. Wars, famine, you know, false flag attacks, all these things. Everything's been going on since the dawn of time. But now we have the vision to be able to see what's happening, and we're like, whoa, fuck, there's a lot of people out here that I do not want to connect with. So this is the time where we connect with other people. This is a time where you find your tribe, you go out and physically find them and create your own communities, because ultimately there's two directions that's happening right now. There's a whole bunch of people that are going in that direction, and that direction is going to happen regardless, and we can't save all those people, and our job is not to save anyone. In fact, our job is to be the most inspiring like version of ourselves and live our best lives. And then we actually don't have to say anything. There's three ways that we operate in the world. Yeah. You can drop a seed and people will maybe listen to it or not. And then that person's going to have a few more seeds be dropped to them over the next 6 months, year, whatever it is. And eventually it's going to be someone that drops a seed that they really resonate with. For example, I'll use this as an example, like, I've just started training, so I'm not Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm getting bigger, but I've just started, right? I haven't trained for ages. But if I was talking to a fucking gigantic bodybuilder and I'm telling him about all this shit, he's going to be looking at me going, I kind of believe, I mean, I'm very good at waking people up. I'm not a good example. I can wake fucking anyone up. I'll be in a bank, I'll wake the woman up behind the fucking window. I'll be on a call to the insurance company, I'll wake some up in 10 minutes. Like, I'm a master at it, right? But a normal person, they will probably be like, I kind of believe this person, but I'm not going to listen. But then 6 weeks later, this person's at a bodybuilding conference and Ronnie Coleman's there. And then Ronnie Coleman's like, did you know about fucking such? And the person's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you prime them up, you're oiling it and lubing it up for the next person to come in to create the actually awakening for them, you know? So that's the first way. The second type of person is a person that they've just had this full on mind blowing experience. And no matter how much information you have, you can just keep forcing it down their throat and they're just like, give me more, you know? That's the second type of person. And then the third way is just literally to be the fucking sickest cunt ever and live the best life and have the most amazing experience. And you don't have to say shit. People are just like, I don't know what the fuck that guy's doing, But whatever he's doing, I want to be part of it. Energetically, yeah. That's a full yes.
100%. 100%. I think, I don't know whether my connection, is my connection a little bit choppy or what?
It's probably mine, bro. I'm on satellite internet in the middle of the forest, you know what I'm like.
Well, I'm in the middle of the forest in suburbia, so. Mate, so it's interesting that you say that in terms of when it comes to being receptive to people, and it is taking information from people really does have to do with the fact that do you basically connect with them in terms of can they what's the word I'm looking for? Where they can they relate to you? You know, if you can have someone who relates to you, automatically the walls, of the conversation in terms of breaking the ice come down. It's like a perfect example is if you're in a foreign country and you bump into someone and you hear an Australian accent, straight away you'll have an easy interaction talking to that person. Oh, you're from Australia, are you? It's like, If you were in Australia and you bumped into someone with an Australian accent, you wouldn't be so quick to, jump into that conversation, right? But if you're in a foreign country and all you need to do is hear the Australian accent, automatically you would have something that you automatically resonate with that person with, and the walls come down and automatically you can have that conversation with that person. So totally. I do understand what you're saying in terms of the bodybuilder and the analogy, and then the same guy would hear the information from Ronnie Coleman and be like, oh, so the world's, the Illuminati's taking over and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, really? I believe it now. You know, this actually guy told me that about, 3.5 weeks ago. Wasn't as big as you, but, yeah, he said the same thing to me. Now that you mention it, I do remember him saying that. Do you know what I mean? Mate. Let's talk about the bench,
yeah,
shall we?
Cool.
Let me segue
into that. So basically what you're saying is this world is based around the external facade, right? Social media and the money. The money is such a big thing. It is such a big thing. And in the last 2 years... I've been rubbing shoulders with a lot of very, very rich people and in meetings with very rich people, and because of this big business we're doing, right? So my perception around the way people function around people with money and being around it has been completely ripped apart, because I've always been a dude that, I've got businesses, I own property, I've got things going on, but I don't post it all over the internet. I don't talk about what I have or what I do. But what I see on the internet is that that's the way people bring shit in. They promote the luxury lifestyle and they've got a car that's on finance and all this shit and all these things, right? And that's bringing all these people in, because what it is, it's an experience that people want to experience. Being ultra rich is this thing that's been programmed into everybody, is that's what you need to be successful. Yeah. Ultra fucking rich, and you have to have a super hot wife and a car and all this shit. And that's just this fake fairy tale thing, and all these people are fucking miserable, and most of the people I know that are super rich are fucking miserable. So I'll let you know on that one. But basically, what I've noticed in the last period of time is people are happy to see you doing things and promoting and helping the world. But a year or two ago, when I actually posted just my house and a few things, I had all these people that were like, oh, how the fuck did you afford that and all this shit? And it shows that, like, there's an undercurrent of if my life's shit, I'm happy as long as that person's life's shitter than mine. So there's a real not good thing that's going on at the moment. And people are struggling. People actually are struggling at the moment, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so there's an interesting thing, which is it's coming on stronger. This two-tiered society is really happening now, where... Yeah. America's basically a third world country with super rich people, not many, and a whole bunch of working poor. And that wasn't the case. The middle class is slowly being wiped out. Australia has still got a solid middle class at the moment. But you have countries like India and all the rest of it where you have these fucking billionaires, and then you have everyone else who can't even put a bowl of rice in their mouth. So that we'll talk more about this when we go into the banking system.
Yeah.
Give me some firepower on what you want me to talk about with the banks, and we'll get into that, and I'll segue back into why I said that.
Mate, let's talk about the bank bail-ins. Let's talk about the fact that people's super's in danger, mate.
Right. So, yeah, this has been actually going on for 3 years now, and I've been talking about it for a lot longer than that. Most people out there probably would have heard what happened in Cyprus many years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago now. The people in Cyprus, basically what happens is what happened, okay, history repeats itself, his story repeats itself always because they can't create anything new. They just follow the previous pattern and piggyback it and hijack things that we love and then recreate them. So I'll go off track if I start talking about all the things they've hijacked, but we can hit that one.
Yeah.
So in Cyprus, basically people woke up in the morning. Majority of their money was missing from their banks. Their super, or whatever you would call it, another social security it's called in America, was gone. So basically the banks which caused the crisis in the first place, okay, said, well, we're about to fail, so we're going to take all of your money, or most of it, to support us, even though we created the crisis in the first place and we've been parasiting off you since day one. And basically the people would go to the banks to try and get their money. They set the ATMs so you can only pull out $200 per day. So if you've got 400 grand in the bank, 200 grand, 100 grand, 50 grand, whatever, you can't even get your money out. And the money was going until basically people lost their life savings. So imagine you worked for 50 years, right, 60 years or 70, whatever it is in Australia now, and you're like, finally I've got 500 grand sitting there, I've got $1 million, I've got 200 grand, whatever it is, and then you're like, I can actually have a break. I've been fucking working like a machine. And Australians are hardworking. Australians are fucking hardworking people. They smash it out. You know, they party hard. They go out and they do things on the weekend. But Aussies are actually hardworking individuals. And they're very, I find them to be very honest, especially the older generation. Those people in their 50s, 60s and 70s now, beautiful people. Hardworking, beautiful people, you know, and a lot of them get scammed because they're not used to being scammed because being scammed wasn't a thing when they grow up, you know. So, but imagine doing that and then you wake up and then literally your super is gone. So we are set up here in Australia with literally the identical legislation. They've literally copied and pasted legislation from Cyprus and they've implemented it into Australia. They're called the Bank of Bailey laws. They are in, they are set. Some people will say, oh, there's insurance, Nate. There is actually no insurance, okay? The insurance is not valid and you have nothing. So for people who have got large amounts of super and cash in the banks, obviously this coincides with the new central bank digital currencies. It also coincides with the fact that they're talking about doing a cyber attack, right? They tell us what they're going to do. This is the standard thing. Yeah. We all know that right now. So when the people are telling you what they're going to do, it's in your best interest to get yourself fucking organized, not later on when it's too late and be like, oh, I should have pulled my money out, should have set up a self-managed super farm, whatever it is. So these three items are set up. Central bank digital currencies, we have the power outage or the internet blackout, which they're talking about, which will happen to allow the central bank digital currencies to come in because they'll be like, oh my God, we cannot have this happen again, even though they're the ones that created the crisis once again. They'll be like, we cannot have this happen. So we're going to have central bank digital currencies because we cannot have a collapse like that ever again. But they're the ones who created it, right? So that's what's going on at the moment with super. We are sitting fucking ducks here in Australia. And a lot of people are jumping and doing something about it. Now, we can talk about a solution at the end, which we do have. But let's talk more about this topic and we can talk about a solution later, which we can offer the people here who want to come on and maybe listen to a presentation on what we can do to not only secure the super, but also increase that by 5 to 10 times, massive.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that about the bail-ins in Cyprus because my family is actually from Cyprus, and my family, my cousins, and my aunties and uncles in Cyprus were directly affected by the bail-in. So it's you know, people need to understand that just because your money's in the bank, it's not safe. Just because your money's with superannuation right now, it's not safe. And you really need to start looking at things you can do with your super and your, obviously, your savings or whatever else to put it into other things in order to, you know, don't have all your eggs in one basket. And what I mean by one basket, don't keep all your money in the bank because that's one basket. And if the bank goes down, you know, how long do some people work to be able to earn, to be able to put in 150 grand in the bank? You know, was that 15 years of your life that you're basically going to lose?
It depends what you're on. Yeah, it depends what
when
you're on.
When that happens? Yeah. So, yeah, it's. I think it's something that really needs to be spoken about in terms of you know, and one thing we've learned that you can't be, you can't leave yourself to be so vulnerable. That's why I myself have looked at, you know, diversifying the way I earn money to try and find 5 or 10 different ways I can earn money, rather than just having a linear 9 to 5 where I'm basically at the mercy of my employer, whether or not I'm going to be able to put food on the table the next week. And I think that's a shit way to live. And I had a massive wake up call, and a lot of people would have had a huge reality check in terms of just how vulnerable they were when they, when all the government had to do was turn around and go, well, you can't go to work and feed your family if you're not jabbed, and everyone went and ran and got it. So you can see just that people need to not be so vulnerable as they once were when it comes to that sort of stuff.
100%, dude. And people are messaging on the thing saying, my friend lost $1 million in Lebanon recently. Can we get our super out? So you can't get your super out per se, but what you can do is you can get it out of the system. Now, what you guys need to understand, what super is one of the greatest scams ever in history. It's basically a little bit like the Federal Reserve Banking System. It's like climate change. It's a great scam. It's a very good scam for people who run these big organizations which manage your super. So this is a bit of an analogy of what super is. Everyone's super is going into a whole bunch of giant big bank accounts, right? Now, they are trading your super on the stock market. They, these people who run these hedge funds and insurance funds and firms and all the rest, right? The people who run fucking world. And so they're making trades with your money, with all of our money on the stock exchange, and they're getting like 5, 10, 15, 20, 25% on their trades. This is going on throughout the year. Okay, so basically it's like me saying to you, Thanos, hey, I'm going to pull fucking millions of people's money together. I'm going to chuck it in some bank accounts. You can trade it, okay, make as much money as you want, and you only have to give these people 2% at the end of the year, like literally 2 to 5%, which is like not even 5% anymore. But if you lose it, don't worry. You don't have to pay it back. That's basically how it works. So it's like they're trading, making all this money, making great money on your super. And then every collapse, you know, after 9/11 and the financial collapse of 2002 and these things, when super disappeared, it was already being traded and made so much money on it. It didn't disappear. It just got put into different places. So it's basically like a giant big system which allows a bunch of people to make insane amounts of money with no risk. And if they lose the money, you lose it anyway, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you can't get it out to your 70, 80, be 90, 110. You know, it's just going to keep going up to the point where people actually can't even access it because they're dying. You know, the way the world is going right now with health, it's an incredibly good scam. So for the question people said there, can you get it out? No, you can't get it out. But what you can do is you can get it out of the system where it's being traded, and then you can invest it into places that are going to give you fucking massive returns, okay, and secure your future. Rather than you might have 200 grand at the end, you can have $2 million, $5 million, whatever. If you play your cards right now, we are going through the biggest transition of wealth ever in history. And what you need to think about, one of the really important things you need to think about now with investments and with what's coming is what industries are going to pump. Okay, what industries went well during the experience? Because we're probably going to see another experience soon, right? I hope not. I pray not. I hope that the timeline's different. But yeah, history repeats itself, like I said earlier. We're heading into artificial intelligence. Okay, AI is going to wipe out 75% of the jobs in the next 5 to 7 years, right? All these normal jobs. You're seeing it now. They're creating people. They're doing all the work for PAs and all the rest of it. It's bloody smart and it's good. And some of the profiles that have been adding me on Instagram and Facebook lately, I have to look really carefully to see if that's a human being or not. There's these like model women that are adding themselves all the time. I'm like, look through, I'm like, that's another AI. It's very concerning because we're just the tip of the iceberg. So we're heading into robotics. We're heading into artificial intelligence. We're in the biggest tech boom ever in history. This is a time where you can make fucking crazy money in this tech boom, okay? What is an essential business? What's a pandemic-proof business, okay? What's an online business? What's not going to work during the next experience? So these are the things you need to think about when thinking about investments and be smart and clever about it, because you can actually really do really well now, because what happens every 10 or 15 years, they collapse the system, The people at the top, okay, they put their money in the right industries before the collapse, and then after the collapse, they buy everything up, which they're doing now in America. People are basically losing their houses, their mortgages. These companies coming in, Vanguard and BlackRock, they're buying up all the properties and they're keeping them, and then they'll own all the properties, and then they can rent the properties to you at whatever fucking price they want, which will connect to the social credit score, the central bank digital currencies, and all that stuff, and be like, no worries, you and Fanos have been talking shit on the internet too long. Okay, you're not renting any of our fucking houses. We're shutting your bank account down. We're shutting this down. So that's why, okay, we need to have alternate systems for payments, which is a lot of people are building these things right now. This pressure is pushing people to jump. It's like things are coming. What do? We need payment systems. We need to be able to get food if things go funny. Where are we going to get our food from if they go, you can't come in, let's just scan your QR code. So we actually have a lot of solutions for all the things that I just said. And like I said, we could actually talk about that towards the end if people want to come on and find out what those solutions are. We're in a very, very good position at the moment to help a lot of people. And that's all I'm going to say.
So we're doing a Zoom call, guys. And we want to try and end the live before 1 hour, because I don't know whether they're going to automatically end it before we have a chance to end it at the hour. Cool. We're going to be doing a Zoom call, a very important Zoom call. It does have to do with being a part of something that's pretty big and it's already quite successful. All you need to do is hop on the Zoom call. And mate, you'll be absolutely blown away. I've been involved with this for about a year. I was listening to what this individual was talking about a year ago of what they were going to do, and what everything he said was going to happened. I mean, absolutely everything, like he had a crystal ball. Absolutely amazing. Nate, you want to tell us people a little bit about it in terms of what is a prerequisite for you to be on the call at a minimum if you are interested in being part of the Zoom call to learn about that opportunity?
Yeah. Cool. Well, a long story short, okay, it's a business that's set up here in Australia. It's supporting local farmers, the food supplier, the Australian food chain, and also ticks all the boxes we've spoken about today. So there's an option for you guys to, you know, work with Super Cash and all the rest of it. Our first seed investors have already made 15 times return and only 2 years, 15 times return. Okay, it's not a cryptocurrency. It's not anything like that. It's a real brick and mortar business here in Australia. We've got 300 employees scaling up to 2,500 in the next 24 months. And we're actually expanding across the country as we speak. You're about to see massive ad campaigns launching in the next couple of months. So it's a monster. We've been very busy. Let's just say that one. Now the prerequisite for coming on, it's 50K minimum investment. Okay. With that super cash, whatever it is you guys are interested in. And we're not going to say too much about it until you jump on the Zoom. And basically when you come on the Zoom, you have your camera on, we're all going to talk. We'll run through a full presentation explaining what we're doing. And if you guys are interested, you can jump on board. Now, long story short, we have like a 95% conversion rate for people who come on the presentation, for people who buy in, because it's a fucking no-brainer. We've got $153 million valuation at the moment, and we're actually on trajectory to be a $1 billion business in the next 24 to 36 months. So, yeah, it's a big deal. There's a lot of work, a lot of stuff going behind the scenes. We're doing 18-hour days, and that's what I've been doing, nothing but that for the last 2 years. And we just happen to be at the right time, at the right moment, in the right industry now. And it's really, really brilliant for, I'll talk more about why it's so important and what we can do with it, but not on Instagram. So that's basically the prerequisite. What's the best method for people who want to jump on, Fanos? Do they message you and send them your email? They send their email to your inbox or what?
Guys, so if you're interested in hearing about this, we're going to be doing a Zoom next week. We might do one or two depending on how much interest there is, because we don't want too many people on one Zoom call. I think the max that we want is it 20 people, Nate, or
we don't mind as long as everyone's got their camera on and everyone's there. It's fine, you know what I mean? But just you know, if you've got people, you know, you can bring them on. But if you haven't got that amount of cash, just, you know, if you want to find people and work together, and that's fine. But basically, that's the absolute minimum. We're raising $12 million this year, and basically we're closing off the small investors in the next kind of short period of time, because the larger money is coming in. And, you know, ultimately, I like to see people like you and me making really good money and to get through this next phase as opposed to people that already have tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars who are going to make more. You know, like for me, I like to see a bit of equality there if we can.
Yeah, well, guys, I don't usually talk about things in terms of when it comes to business and stuff, but I've been watching this for a year now. And as I said, everything this guy said he was going to do, he's done. And it, as I said, it's almost like he had a crystal ball in terms of what he said, what was going to happen in terms of competition, going away and all the other stuff. And when Nate said that it's, this business is pandemic proof and stuff like that, you can see when that we did get hit with the lockdowns, a lot of people went to trying to acquire things online, especially groceries. You can see that, you know, we won't talk too much about it, but yeah, it's it is a very, very, very good place to get involved into. But I'm not going to talk too much about it. Let the experts speak about it on the Zoom call. That's about it, mate.
Perfect. Yeah, and during the pandemic, we had so many people come on and we gave them jobs. We didn't discriminate, you know, have any sort of requisite for what you can and can't do. We had doctors, nurses, teachers, like we had a lot of employees come in during that time of like, of course you can work for us, you can start tomorrow, you know. So there's a lot of things you can do when you have two conscious CEOs owning a corporation. That's probably a, I don't know if it's Australia first or world first, but this is the first time this has really ever happened, and we're pinning ourselves as like Australia's truly first conscious corporation, you know, here to help and do the best we can to actually make change rather than just make insane amounts of money that don't do anything and nothing comes back. So I guess people should just send you an inbox, Thanos, with what they want to invest with, Cash Super, whatever, if they want to come on the presentation, their emails, their name, phone number, and then we'll send out a link for the Zoom. They can come on, have a listen, and that'll be really good. You guys are going to be really impressed, and there's not one single thing I've said that I've exaggerated one tiny bit. I'm being very modest here as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely nothing, man. He's been straight out in terms of exactly what's been happening with this thing. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on this live. It's been awesome. Nate, thanks so much for the chat, man. People, I was just looking at the comments all the way through, and people absolutely loved the chat and where we went with the direction we took it and how it was very upbeat and, you know, we had a good laugh and everything else, and I think we should do this again soon. Guys, if you are interested in hopping on for that Zoom call, inbox me saying I'm interested. That's all you need to say, I'm interested, and I'll know what you're talking about, and send your name. And just your, because not everyone has their name on Instagram, put your name in your message and your email address, and we'll compile a list of how many people are going to, and phone number in your message. And what we're going to do is we're going to organize a Zoom call and you get to see everything.
And we'll probably call you before the Zoom anyway, we'll have a quick chat and just to get clear and give you a bit of rundown what's going on. So thanks for your time, guys, and I think me and Thanos are going to come back on, have a bit of a rant now that we're actually on and we're allowed to have people. And I mean, that's only 100 people on, but I haven't seen 100 people on anything I've done for so long, you know. And for people who don't know me, I actually had a really big following before COVID, a cult following. Some of my posts in Facebook were getting like 10,000 20,000 shares many years ago, like huge. And I spent most of my time absolutely decimating the mainstream narrative, going into every comment section, every single post, and destroying it. And I had an army of people that were like, you know, kind of following it. So it was a really weird thing to go from that to then actually being so silent for so long.
Yeah.
I felt like I had a noose around my neck or a thing over my face. And my words like Thanos are my magic, you know. So it's nice to be able to get back on here and speak some truth and talk to some people and hopefully get a little bit of inspiration out there too and motivate you guys to get action orientated for this next phase, because this can actually be really fun. This can be really entertaining. Make sure you have a massive big garbage bin size full bag of popcorn, because shit is going to be exciting, right? You should use this next phase as like, we're here on Earth, okay? It's not going to be boring. I can choose to be miserable while things are happening or I can choose to have the best fun while this is going on, regardless of what's happening. Okay, and live your best life. So that's the key thing. Live your fucking best 100%. Life. It's your journey. Whatever you want to do, you can do. And that's it. If you fail to plan, you become part of someone else's plan.
100%. Nate, thanks so much for joining us. Everyone, thanks so much for joining us. Last time I've seen 100 on a live, considering I'm used to being shadow banned. And yeah, all the way through. So thanks so much, guys, for staying with us. Mate, awesome to have a chat to you. We're going to end it there, guys. I am going to say this live so you can share it. Share it everywhere, guys. Get it out there. And yeah, we are out.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
See you later. It won't end. I can't end the live.